All right. Can you hear me all right? Is it on? Yeah? Okay, good. I was already really inspired what we heard this morning. I'm always amazed at the Spirit of God, how it works, how the different things we heard, how they were all connected. And I was thinking, Ken here, he was sharing on waiting on the Lord and touched on some of the references that I was actually going to speak about. The song that Caleb chose is Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Our flesh doesn't like that. It talks about mold us and make us. And Ben was talking about rejoicing in all things. I have a story I want to tell you that it's going to kind of explain. And then also, I like what Stuart was talking about, being married to Christ and also being baptized into Christ, being dead into Christ. I don't know which way to start, but maybe I'll start with my story. So I had a very exciting week. So I was working at DMS Construction, and we were getting pretty slow there. And so on Tuesday, Eli, the man I was working for, he told me that, he's like, we won't have work for you anymore, that you know, I can maybe work there a week or two. And my first thoughts were like, well, how am I gonna provide? How am I gonna pay the rent or take care or whatever of like my wife and I and things? And but then I thought of it, and so I called Heather and I was like, can you pray for me? And just the calmness I got, like, it was just overwhelming. I'm going to start in James chapter 1 here. It says, verse 2 starting, says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. It was just so amazing. And so I started now. I was like, well, I'm going to have to start to look for work. And so I went online searching for work, and I found that the Honda dealer in Listowel, they were looking for someone to do car detailing. So I went there right away, and it sounded pretty promising. And so it's like a couple days later, the general manager called me for one to do an interview. So I went there for an interview, and I was hired on the spot. And I was just so excited how Jesus answered that prayer. Like, it was just amazing. But I want to go into some scripture that, so that's kind of why I was inspired to speak a little about anxieties today. And I think most of us battle with that one now and then. And even though, like, I was battling with anxiety and knowing that Jesus, what Jesus says about anxiety, like, I didn't want to battle it, but it was in the back of my mind. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 31. Starting verse 22. So this was right after Jesus had fed the multitude. So starting verse 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves from the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spoke unto them, and saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto the Lord, If it is thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. And I was thinking of that a lot this week. I was thinking just a picture I had when we first accept, or like we're in the boat and we accept Christ and we start walking towards him. And as long as we keep our eyes on him, you know, in other words, we can say we're walking on the water, right? But when we start looking at the waves, we start to sink. And I was thinking of that this week because when Eli told me I won't have work for you anymore, it's when I started seeing the waves. I wasn't focusing on keeping my eyes on the Lord. I was just seeing like, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that, right? But I like what the next part here says. Okay, where were we? And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And I like that. It doesn't, Jesus didn't say, he's like, just give me a minute, or, you know, I'm busy right now. It says immediately. And that's what he does for us. Sometimes we might not feel that way. And sometimes, like, our answers, our prayers don't get answered the way we expect. I am very grateful for a job. Unfortunately, I'll be getting paid $18 an hour instead of $23 where I was. But Jesus doesn't always answer you like, I'll give you a job with $28 an hour. But he did provide, even though it's $18 an hour. And I'm grateful for that. Let me see. So Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 25. It says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit into stature? And yeah, that's another thing I was really like with worrying. It's not going to change anything. It's, if anything, I'll make it worse. So. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say that not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. And I was thinking of that. Like Solomon, it says he was the wisest man in the world, and we know he was wealthy in things. And yet with all of that wealth, it talks about he was not arrayed as one of these. It says, Wherefore if God so clothed the grass in the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient is the day of the evil thereof. And then Luke chapter 12, it tells a similar story. So starting at verse 22. So starting verse 22, and he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow or reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add as his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. If then God clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?
So I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but when I was 9 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer. And like any parent, my parents, they were worried. They were like, what's going to happen? I remember the doctors, so this is the medical doctors, they told my parents, they're like, he's young. Like young people, they don't worry about it. They're like, he'll make it. So, and they remember them saying that, like those that do worry about it or whatever, that's like the cancer just works so much harder, right? And I never thought of that till years later, reading in the Bible and Jesus telling us time and time again not to worry. And it's just amazing because I was thinking, God, he's the one that created us. He knows how our bodies react to when we do worry. And I was just amazed by that. So Psalms 23, oh, Ken read that already. I wanted to touch on that a little. It starts off with, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd today? And if it is, then this is for you. I don't know much about sheep, but I imagine that the shepherd wants what's best for the sheep. So if we read on here, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So I just imagine that, like, you know, the shepherd looking for the best waters, the best grass for the sheep to flourish. And it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not for my sake, but for his name's sake. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I was thinking that again, like, you know, we come to areas where all of a sudden we're like, oh, I lost my job, or, you know, it can be anything, but we don't need to fear. And sometimes I find it hard sometimes to remain calm, just thinking, well, do I have to find a job or so on? But it says, and going on, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I like this next part. It says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I've witnessed that many times, and that's just so precious when just feel like your cup's running over, and it's like telling God, like, I just felt like telling God, I was like, I can't take no more. Like, it's so exciting when you, things like that. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And yes, if we abide in God, then we can say that. I just want to close with Psalms chapter 34. Verse 8. I think it's got past here. Verse 8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I was like, have you tasted that? It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And to me, that is so exciting. So I find a Christian life so exciting. And like James was saying there, count it all joy. Well, to be honest, I don't always count it all joy, but... And then when I see the aftermath, though, and then I can just see how God planned it all and everything, and it's just really exciting. It's worth it all. Let's close in prayer yet. God, I just come before you, and I thank you, Lord, that your ways are so much higher than ours, and God, that you do care for us. Lord, help us to wait on you and rejoice in all circumstances. Lord, I pray, God, would you help us to put on the whole armor of God. Lord, you say that we're supposed to resist the devil and he will flee. And Lord, those are promises you gave us, Lord. Help us to remember that and to act upon that. Father, I pray, would you continue to bless the service here today. And Lord, may we, as we leave today, Lord, may we all be just richly filled with your holy manna today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray, amen.